Good Chodesh, everyone. Thank you very much for being here to learn about Bitachon. Today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Tafshin Pei Dalid. And today, our learning should be a zechus for a refuah shleima for my dear friend Chaim David Ephraim ben Chana and Uriel David ben Yocheved and Yerachmeel Yosef ben Rivka Hada. The Chazal and Mefarshim explained that the Sefer Koheles, as you know, is one of the five Megillos. We learned it in school. Parts of it, and it's all about Musar, and it records the ideas of Shlomo HaMelech, the great Shlomo HaMelech, in a very interesting order. And that order is, according to as Rav Baruch HaLevi Epstein explains, for the most part, it's the order that the thoughts came to his mind. It is not a chronological sefer, although there are parts of it that are that way. So I just wanted to If Shlomo HaMelech is able to do it, I just wanted to mention some thoughts that came to my mind that are relevant to Bitachon over the last few days. But there's something even more impactful than that. And we are approaching what we call Hundreds Day. And in many schools, they have that. B'li Ayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, we are on number 93 today. So if you've been here every time, thank you for joining us the 93rd time. And it was occurring to me, first of all, this week, a pasuk in Koheles. Along those lines, having to do with anxiety. The Pasuk in Koheles, Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis, says the following: Lev Chacham Liamino, the heart of a wise person is to his right. Now, there are various pshatim explanations on that, as you can imagine. It's very much of an analogy, a metaphor. But I heard from a great Talmud Chacham a very inspiring pshat. When you open up a sefer, we look in a sefer. So we have the right section and the left section. What's on the right? The right is what we have accomplished. What does a Chacham do? In order to be inspired by my own accomplishments, which is a very good idea, it's very productive. And to want to keep moving further, I look at the right. Look at what we have accomplished. Look at all of the pages we've turned. Look at the 92 B'nai Ayin Hara gatherings we've had until now, and who are building up so much chokhmah in bitachon and emunah and Torah, midos in general. So the chacham, lev chacham liyamino, it's a wise piece of advice to look to the right sometimes. Look at the right part of the sefer, what we've grown and accomplished. Belev ksil lismolo. Ah, it says in Koheles, the same pasuk, the heart of a fool is to his left. What does it mean to the left? Oy vey, he looks at the left side of the sefer. Look how many pages I have left to do. How am I ever going to tackle this task? How am I ever going to accomplish this? Look how much, there's so much ahead of me to do. I'm gripped by anxiety and fear, or I have learning quotas that I have in myself each day. They're doable, but they're challenging. Lev ksil lismolo, but that's foolish to think that way. To say, oh no, what's going to be? I'm anxious. I'm scared. I'm afraid. I thought we started in the first Vad, 93 Vad gatherings ago. We said, Lo Siro Mehem, that it says in Parshas Shoftim that you're not allowed to be afraid. It's talking to the soldiers on the battlefield and Rabbeinu Yonah, as we've said dozens of times already, and is explained by the Achronim, Rabbeinu Yonah's Shita, that it's talking about don't be afraid of anything that might happen to you. We're not supposed to be afraid. Not only do we not need to be afraid, we're not allowed to be afraid because that anxiety, that fear is against what the Torah wants from us. It wants us to look not at the left and say, oh no, look at all the big clump of pages ahead of me. I don't know how I'm ever going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to meet the payroll, how I'm going to have enough money. I don't know how I'm going to be healthy. I don't know how my relationships are going to be in order. All of that is lev ksil lismolo. That's looking ahead, looking at the left side, the pages we haven't turned yet. Lev chacham liyamino. Let's focus on the right side. I have a sefer in front of me. Baruch Hashem, look how many pages we've turned. Look how far we've come. And as we know, it has an effect on us. That's one thought that I had as we're approaching 100 day Vad, that Baruch Hashem, Hashem has helped us accomplish. And then it occurred to me, I'm going to have a little fun today. Yes, you're saying to yourself, wait, I was here last week, and we were supposed to go further in the Orchos Tzadikim, in the Bitachon HaChamishi, the fifth category of Bitachon. Yes, of course, that's waiting for us. But I decided also to do something that we did about a year ago, which was when we were approaching certain numbers, especially numbers of note, I decided to look at the significance because I love to look at numbers. We know that if you look in Sfarim, you could see it all over the place. When they talk about what year it was, they'll tell you the gematria of that year and the significance of it. When they'll tell you how many psukim are in a parsha, suddenly that gematria is the same as something significant. There's my son Shlomo Zalman, he made an app for gematrias, and I'm sure there's more than one of them out there. It just occurred to me, 93 is today's Vod. And I'm going to have a little fun with 93. What kind of fun? Bitachon fun! Inspiration! I thought to myself, where do you see this number, Tzadi Gimel? Where is it? And it hit me right away that in the 4,186 Mishnayos and Shas, depending how you count them, some of those are Brisos, there are two times that I can think of that it says this word. Now, it's not the word Tzadi Gimel, but it's the word Gimel Tzadi, but it's the same thing. It's the ingredients, like when you make chalent or soup, not necessarily does it matter the order you put the ingredients in. Well, Havdil, it's the same thing in the Havdil ben Kodesh Tachol with gematrias, the number is there. So the Tzadi Gimel, which is Vod number 93, which is today, is like a Gimel Tzadi. And I know that some of you out there are listening, it comes to your mind right away where that Gimel Tzadi is. That's right, you got it. You look at the Gemara Bava Kama in Samach Bezum and Bezum in the Mishnah, it talks about a gate, a spark that goes out from under a hammer and then it flies and damages someone. But the point is that the Tzadi Gimel, which is the 93, is the same as Gimel Tzadi. That is a word for a spark. And I said to myself, everything to do with bitachon. Whenever there's a spark of inspiration in life, when I see positivity, you're having a hard time, Chas V'Shalom, and something happens that's unmistakably Hashgacha Pratis. It happens sometimes. You're having a struggle, Chas V'Shalom. Sometimes it's protracted over, it could be hours or days. Suddenly, in the middle of it, in the thick of it, I open up a safer. I need to look something up. Boom! That's exactly the page I needed. But it's like, there's no reason that to happen except for Hashem showing me that he loves. It's a spark. It's a Gimel Tzadi, a 93, like today's number 93 of Ad. So I said I can get an inspiration from a Gimel Tzadi, a Tzadi Gimel, that could be a spark. But I'm supposed to capture it. That's the point. What happens in life? Asher Koruch HaBaderech. The Amale comes, the doubt comes along and cools us off. No, I need to capture the hot spark. And I see that the Ribono Shel Olam is with me. All I have to do is look at all the huge experiences where Hashem is helping out. It's conspicuous. It's unmistakable. You would have to stretch your mind like a maniac to deny that this was Hashem. The Yetzer Hara is capable of making us do that. So the first thing I got from today's number, Vod number 93, is a Gimel Tzadi. That's the same as Tzadi Gimel, 93. It's a spark to grab those sparks of inspiration. Like my Rosh Hashiva always says, strike while the iron's hot. Number two, there's another Mishnah that has the word in it. This is going to seem totally unrelated. Anybody know where that one is? It's in a Mishnah. In Nikvaos Perek Tes Mishnah Beis, there's also the word Gimel Tzadi, which is the same as Tzadi Gimel, which is 93, which is the number Vod we're doing today. I said to myself, I know right now that that has nothing to do with the one in Bava Kama. So what is the inspiration about Bitachon from the Mishnah and Mikvot? What is it talking about? It's talking about smushed mud. What do you think about that, huh? Very inspiring. Well, actually, it's talking about certain materials that are a chatzitza when a person immerses, or when you immerse kalim or vessels. And to make a long story short, it says that it's called Gates Yavani. It's not like Yavan, which is Greece, although it's related. It's more like Yavain, like there's another word in Tehillim, Titha Yavain, which means slimy. So there's some kind of mud. You probably wonder, where is this guy going? Don't worry, we'll see. We're not stuck in the mud. So it says there, certain materials are chatzitza. One of them is Gates Yavani. So it says in the Mishnah, what are those things? It's Elu Yesedos Hadracha, huh? Those are like spikes or pegs that are on the roads or on the path. Huh? So the Bartanura explains there's a kind of mud that it gets smushed down when people walk on it. And when it's wet, it's called Gates Yavani. Now remember, Yavani. Remember, Gates is Tzadi Gimel, 93. What are we doing now, in case you joined us in the middle? What we're explaining is, I said I was going to take the number Vod today, which is 93, and show inspirations about bitachon, because this is the way that I'm operating. I'm doing this mainly for my, this is really, I'm doing it for my own self-improvement. And I can extract from any experience and opportunity something that's going to be a boost in bitachon. So the fact that we reach the milestone of Tzadi Gimel, so I see this gate, which is a kind of mud, and when it dries, though, it's called Yased HaDurachim. A Yased is a peg or a spike. What does it have to do with bitachon? We'll see. The Bar Tanura says, Shekoshe lahaloch aleihem. Hard to walk on them. Because think about this mud. When it's wet and people walk on it, so then it gets smushed down into all these different shapes, but there are ridges. There are imperfections. There are uneven surfaces. There are even surfaces that are like pegs or spikes. Benira kemahalech agabe yisedu. It looks like the person's walking on spikes or nails or pegs. I said to myself, ah, there we go. There are experiences in life. It's hard to walk. It's hard to move further. It's not comfortable, sometimes even painful. But we keep walking. We keep going. So therefore, I said to myself, that's the side of Gimel up today. That's the 93, that we walk, we have walked, we are walking, we will travel, we will persevere, Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue to walk. We have to keep our positive attitude, and that only can make it better, because having anxiety and fear only makes it worse, and it helps nothing, that's for sure. So I thought about the Tzadi Gimel as that type of mud that when it dries, it's hard to walk on. Sometimes we say we're walking on eggshells, sometimes we're walking on spikes. But the Ribbono Shel Olam sees us through. We're still here. Like we talked about last week, about the fact that 8,409,600 breaths per year, every single breath, I'll call a Neshima, Neshima Tahalel call. And finally, before we continue in the Orcha Tzadikim, after this long introduction of 93, I'm sure you're thinking that it's in Chumash also. Because if you put it in order, instead of the first two we did, which is the Gimel Tzadi, there's the Tzadi Gimel. Where is the Shoresh, the root of this verb, Tzadi Gimel? Where do you hear it? One place, as you might know, is, that's right, Parshas Miketz. What did Yehuda say when he pledged responsibility for Binyamin to bring Binyamin back to the viceroy, to Tzafnas Paneach? I'm sure you know the whole story. He said to his father, Imlo habiyosib elecha behitzagtiv lefanecha. If I have not brought back Binyamin and stood him up straight alive in front of you, then I will be guilty, he told his father. That's what Yehuda said to Yaakov. It's in Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Tes in Parshas Miketz. So I said to myself, ah, there I found the Tzadi Gimel in order. And maybe that's the most important one. We're standing no matter what we go through, whether we go through slimy mud or spikes, we should capture the sparks of inspiration and stand tall as we move forward. Get up and go and keep doing mitzvos. Be like that tree that we learned a couple weeks ago that it says in Maseches Avos. It has lots and lots of roots. It's firmly anchored in the ground. Maisim Tovim. And the branches are fewer so that no wind in the world can blow us over. And that was what we learned 2 weeks ago. So those are three possible inspirations from today being number 93. We had a spark. We had the fact that life is sometimes very rough and there are so many loose ends and rough edges, it's not our responsibility to tie them up and to smooth them out. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam's job. And then we have our inspiration of Sog. We can stand proud that we're breathing and alive and learning and able to move forward, learning about Bitachon. And that leads us finally to where we're up to, the fifth area of Bitachon. And by the way, each week that inspiration comes to me having to do with what number it is, then we'll probably share that also. But not guaranteed every week. Just a disclaimer. Habitachon al-Chamishi, exactly the halfway mark for today. The fifth category or type of bitachon says the Orech HaTzadikim, Huchovos ho'evarim, the obligations of a person's limbs. Meaning I'm supposed to activate, engage, involve, and put into motion every part of my body, my limbs and my organs, asher hu osek lehetiv lacherim, that the person is involved in bestowing good and helping others, being benevolent to other people, kegon hatzedakah. In order to give tzedakah, I need bitachon. And in order to To have bitachon, I need to give tzedakah. This past week, there was something that came up, and it was creating a lot of anxiety in me. It was to the point of being debilitating, honestly. So each time it happened, I zelled another, let's say, $50 to a yeshiva for tuition, even beyond meiser. Each time I did it, I said to myself, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. I'm going to save from death and from anything that's dangerous. There's always a sense of relief. Now, if 7 hours later, it popped up again because the crisis or the perceived crisis, which, by the way, was only perceived, like usual, like always. Well, we can talk about that another time, perceived and not perceived. But that crisis that I visualized, it came back again because it hadn't cleared yet. And I gave another dose, another sum of tzedakah. I had to keep taking the edge off until it passed. But each time it gave relief. It was like a medicine, but then we needed another dose. And so just like the Aruch HaSadikim tells us, we need bitachon in order to part with money, in order to give tzedakah, but we need tzedakah in order to have bitachon. Tzedakah tatzil mimaves. Sometimes it's the only way. Remember the Gemara's mashal? It says, picture these sheep. They need to cross the river. The ones that have a lot of wool on them, when they start walking across, they get waterlogged. And it becomes very cumbersome, burdensome for them to make it across the river, okay? The one who shears off the wool before can make it through, can glide through the river, can cross safely. So there's a much like that, Chazal say. It's the same thing. If I shave off, I scissor off some of my money and I give it away to tzedakah the way I'm supposed to, ideally meiser, some people can give a chomesh, and if none of the above, because the person really is not able to, and it depends on the person's own plak halacha, then at least some tzedakah. When we shear it off, when we cut it off, we make ourselves thinner, easier to move through the challenges, the rushing rivers of life, like those sheep who have less wool, they can make it across the river. That's tzedakah tatzel mimaves. Some people think if I have more wool, more gashmias, accumulate more and more, enough for the next decades and decades, I have to have it ready, then they're the ones who don't make it over the river, chas v'shalom. And we need to save ourselves from maves and save ourselves from all types of affliction and difficulties. We need bitachon in Hashem in order to be able to teach Torah to students. If I am preoccupied, if I am worried, if I'm distracted, there's no way that I... Okay, I think it got knocked out by something. Well, we're back now. Okay, if you missed part of that, we just said, we need bitachon to be able to teach wisdom to students, and to go ahead and direct people in the proper direction. If I'm distracted, if I'm preoccupied, if I am zoned out somewhere else because my mind is held captive by something that's worrying me, I will be unable to do all of these mitzvos and to, as we said before, engage all of my being, my evarim, to give tzedakah, to teach, to learn, to help people do what's right, or laharchik min hara, and also to direct people to go away from what they shouldn't do, especially when we're in a position of either authority or education or any person who has this opportunity. We have to have bitachon to be able to work on bringing people back to Hashem when we have that opportunity, if we do. It always works better, lo b'shas maaseh, to give shiurim, to speak divrei Torah. If anybody wants to prevent Lashon Hara, speak divrei Torah about Lashon Hara. It's much, much easier for that to happen and to work than to, like, when it starts occurring, to stop people in the middle of saying Lashon Hara. That's way harder than if people know that I don't want to hear Lashon Hara and I don't want to talk Lashon Hara. I need bitachon to be able to do that. I think I told you the story before that when I first moved to Cincinnati, and this has to do with this paragraph, so I decided I'm going to start to give shiurim, 1991, right away on Hilchos Lashon Hara. We had a women's shiur for a long time, weekly, and I would give any divrei Torah whenever possible about Shmiras HaLashon. So I tried to make it like people wouldn't want to say Lashon Hara around me in case they would have that inclination. So I was once sitting at a simcha and somebody at the table started to say Lashon Hara. So before I even had a chance to feel uncomfortable, which I was about to, somebody else at the table screamed at the one who was saying the Lashon Hara and pointed at me. I know this is bizarre. The person pointed at me and said, "What are you doing? What are you saying Lashon Hara for? Don't you see that he's here?" The person pointed at me and said to the speaker, "How can you say Lashon Hara? He's here." I said to myself, "He's here. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Forget about me." But Baruch Hashem, that worked anyway. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us we have to be laharkik min hara. That's not always easy to do. The mitzvah of hochiach tichiach hasamisecha, to reprimand, to direct, to give rebuke, very, very difficult. We know the Mishnah and Sotah says, ein tochacha, the art, the talent of giving rebuke is almost like a lost talent today. Whatever that, it's a Mishnah that says it, ein tochacha, right before Mashiach comes, it says. But there are ways that we can accomplish it. We can try to develop a reputation in certain ways, and therefore that will help pave the way for observance of Torah and also to direct other people in that way. Baruch Hashem in school, ninth grade, every year, Blin Netter, for many years now, we've had our curriculum in halacha. A lot of it is about Shmiras HaLashon with 15 major exams, etc. So one time at a parent-teacher conference, a father said to me, he said, "You don't understand what goes on in my house at the table." He said, "You're the Rebbe for my whole family." I said, "Huh? All I have is your daughter." He said, "No, because if anybody at the table starts to say Lashon Hara, my daughter's like, no, we learned in class, in halachic class, that that's Lashon Hara." So it has a ripple effect. These are just some etzos about how to accomplish what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is describing here. And this is within the framework of bitachon, because I need bitachon that I'll be able to do this. Very simple. If I don't trust in Hashem that I'll be able to do this, it's going to be a daunting task. I have to activate bitachon for this because it's extremely challenging. Sometimes there's the need to endure people embarrassing me. It's to least bochar is to tolerate or to endure their degradation or them being the tzaddik or the person who's trying to correct others to being shamed or embarrassed. Sometimes in a class, somebody will get heated and we speak about something, we don't emphasize midas hadin and punishment. No, that's not how it's done. But if it comes up occasionally, at least, or we're learning psukim about it, so what happens is somebody could get upset. So the person who's in the position of teaching or instructing has to be ready to have a bit of a thick skin and realize this is developmental stages of learning. Baruch Hashem, this is what we call Melchamta Shel Torah. This is the war, the battle of Torah. It's fighting the good fight. It's the labor of love. So sometimes the person has to take some heat because the person says the truth. But we have to do it with skill, and we have to do it delicately and with sensitivity. B'yitrach And now the Aruch Tzaddikim reminds us, well, how much energy, how much power do I need to be able to do all this? The person needs to work with all of his strength for these things to do that. The yiftach and the one is in the position of instructing others or helping direct others or learning with others has to trust in Hashem sheyazrehu, that Hashem will help him. Because he doesn't trust in Hashem that it's going to help him, then he's going to be missing a crucial ingredient, which is what we call siyata dishmaya. Anything we accomplish with ourselves, our own self-improvement, our families, our communities, with Klal Yisrael, we need siyata dishmaya. And without it, we can't accomplish anything. And we can trust in Hashem. We have to trust that the Hashem will help the person, that through doing all of this, the person will get closer to Hashem. That's the motive. It's l'shem shamayim. A person who's teaching Torah, a person who's speaking or directing others or serving as a role model shouldn't have a motive in order to get honor or to have a reputation. As the Oznaim, the Torah says, the Lutz Gerav, there's a Yetzirah to have a title or a name, tzaddik, chassid, whatever the word is. That's not what our goal is supposed to be. Below the tzapos hakamul mayhem. Nor should we be waiting and hoping for some kind of compensation from the people we help. Even a person who teaches Torah isn't even allowed to get paid. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu told us, Chukim u'mishpatim, limadati aschem chukim u'mishpatim kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. Just like Hashem told me that I have to teach you for free, you have to teach also Torah for free. Well, how do we get paid? We already know. It's called Tzchar Batala. We get paid for what we didn't do in that time that could have earned us a living. Sometimes it's Shmiras Hatinokos, it's babysitting, washing the children. But lo letzapos hagamumehem, we're not looking to get paid and to get compensated for teaching Torah and for directing people in the right way. We do it for the mitzvah. Belolis Torah aleihem, and not for sure, not to be powerful and to lord over others and to have some kind of position and superiority over others, to be recognized as an authority. This is not what we're trying to do. To be recognized as an aristocrat, as a nobleman, as a powerful person, that is not what our goal is. Then the Orach HaSadikim tells us something that is not as relevant today as it used to be. And this is the topic we're going to start to explore now, but Im Yirtzeh Hashem will continue next week. This inyan of nistar. What is a nistar? Someone who does mitzvot, learns Torah, teaches Torah, but in a hidden way, and it is not well known. The Orach HaSadikim tells us a person should be careful to be master, to hide his or her accomplishments in Torah and Yiras Shamayim. So this question of whether a person should do that is addressed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. And today we're just going to tell you, in short, that Rav Moshe tells us we're not supposed to, today, try to hide all of our good deeds, our Torah and mitzvot. And we're going to learn that out from Rav Pasek. But we're going to finish a little more on the Orach HaSadikim, and the next time we learn in Mirtz Hashem, we'll start with that topic, at least somewhere into the session, about this inyan of hiding or not hiding our Torah and mitzvot. But he says, im lo yochala hastir, if a person is not able to keep it quiet and private, he's course to call ha toeles. A person has to remember, by the way, this is always true, whether we do it in a hidden way or a conspicuous way. All the benefit, vanezik, and damage if we suffer chas v'shalom, lo yehe min habruim, does not come from people. It only comes with the permission of Hashem. So to summarize what we did so far today in Bitochon HaChamishi, in all aspects of Avodas Hashem, and also especially in what we do with other people, interpersonal relationships, and also our interactions when it comes to learning and teaching Torah and instructing others, we should do it l'shem Shemayim. We should not expect recognition, kavod. And we have to make sure to have bitachon in Hashem, that Hashem will grant us divine assistance in doing. Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll continue on this exact topic. A good chodesh, and Zman Chayr Hussein should be a time of true spiritual freedom for all of us. Have a wonderful week.